We're up to the fifth chapter of Eicha. I am not sure that according to our tradition, this is a separate chapter. I think that this is the continuation. According to Jewish tradition, this is the continuation. We finished the Aleph Beis, and now Yirmiyo finishes what he has to say. I think that according to Jewish tradition, Eicha is four chapters, because we are told that Jeremiah wrote three chapters, and then added a fourth, and that's Eicha. So then this division that divides this into a separate chapter, that's a Christian thing. Even though the way we write the Megillah, this really has a large pause, meaning we pause till the end of the line before we start writing this, what's called the fifth chapter. But I think that Jewish tradition has this as a continuation of the fourth chapter, so that when Chazal teach us that the first version of Eicha had three chapters, that includes the fourth and fifth as one. You had the first, the second, and the fourth. And then when the king burnt that, so then they added the third. So far you guys are with me? Okay. Next point. We concluded last night, we discussed how Jeremiah prophesizes about the Edomites. So what did they understand of this when they heard it during the period of the first temple? So I think they understood it the same way that Jeremiah and Isaiah, Yirmiyahu and Yeshaya prophesied about the nations surrounding Israel that rejoiced at our destruction of the first temple. I think they just interpreted this that that's what happened with the Edomites too. Meaning, what does Yirmiyahu say? Rejoice, Edomites! But don't worry, your day is going to come too. Zion's sins are finished and they won't be exiled anymore. And you, Edom, you're still going to be taken to task over your sin. So that verse isn't conclusively about the second temple. Our tradition is that he was foreshadowing, he was prophesizing about what was yet to be in the second temple. But I think that the people who heard this during the period of the first temple, they interpreted it that he's just talking about how the Edomites will rejoice at the destruction of the first temple. They didn't realize what he was talking about of what was yet to come in the period of the second temple. There's another point that's worth mentioning. We learned last night about how Rabbi Yochanan says nothing good or bad comes from heaven. From the day Hashem told us you have a choice, good or bad, life or death, from that day onward, things are, so to speak, on autopilot, where Hashem says, your actions are going to define your life. We have to understand who is the one saying this. The one who makes this statement in the Medrash is Rabbi Yochanan, who buried all his 10 children. Had 10 children, and all of them were killed, and the smallest one he saw before his own eyes fall into a vat of boiling water and boiled to death in front of his own eyes. And he'd keep the last little bone of his finger that was all that was left from that youngest son. So that's the Rabbi Yochanan who says nothing good or bad comes from heaven. It's all a product of our own actions. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the leader of the people at the time, compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. A tremendous sage, a tremendous tzaddik. The Talmud says he was so beautiful that his skin shone. He'd walk into a dark room and it was like there was a light in the room. He was so unusually beautiful and pious. And yet, he buried all 10 children, and he could say, nothing good or bad comes from heaven. It's all a product of our actions. So we just have to have perspective who's saying that.
Right, yeah.
No, to Rabbi Yochanan. I'm saying he had a lot of suffering in his life, and still he said that.
So, but the corner of the idea that he must have done something wrong to...
Right.
What should be that? Like, what could he have done so wrong to...
That's a...
...willing person, like...
The giants of Israel always took themselves to task. So... I don't know. So we're up to what's called the fifth chapter, but until now, the division of the chapters was in line with our tradition, and here... This is probably the continuation, and according to our tradition, this is not a separate chapter, the continuation of the final chapter of Jeremiah. and it even fits of Eicha, and it even fits because we saw how Yirmiyahu concluded each chapter with words of hope, and this is all a section that's about hope. Zichor Adonai mehayalanu habita u'eyet chelpateinu. Remember Hashem, what was decreed upon us. Look from your heavens and see our shame. Nachalateinu nefcha lezarim, bateinu lenochim. Our inheritance, our land was given over to foreigners. Our homes were given to Gentile nations. Yetomim hayinu ve'yein av. We were orphans, we were fatherless. Our mothers were like widows whose husbands went away off to sea, and the wife is always wondering, is he still alive? And whenever we speak about Av and Aim, so sometimes Av and Aim is a reference to the patriarchs and matriarchs. And sometimes Aim Imoteinu is a reference to the nation. And then we've come full circle, where we began the Megillah with Hayeta Ke'almana, that Jerusalem was like a widow. She isn't really a widow, she's like a widow. Her husband's far away and she has to keep wondering, is he coming back? He went on a long business trip and she never knows, is he still alive, is he still coming back? And that's how Yirmiyahu is concluding Eicha. Our mothers were like widows, as in our mothers, Imoteinu is very often Umateinu, our nation is like a widow, that she wonders, is her husband coming back? Meimeinu bechesef shatinu, Eitzeinu bimchir yavou. We had to pay for water. We were so scared of the enemies, we couldn't go out and draw water. That was the commodity which everyone could get for free. You just went out to the stream. And no, the fear of the enemy forced people to buy their water, to buy it from the enemy. And even the wood, which ordinarily people just went out into the forest and gathered whatever wood they needed. But now we were too scared to do that, so we had to purchase our firewood. Al tzavareinu nirdafnu yaganu v'lo hunach lanu. We were chased. We couldn't remove the yoke from our neck. We worked hard and we weren't given a break. We worked hard to make ends meet, and as much as we worked, they just tax us more and more and more, and so we could never make it. The more we made, the more they tax us. And when so Chazal tell us that when Nebuchadnezzar saw us going into exile, so he saw people who were completely bare, meaning the people were stripped, they were going naked, and then he said, wait a second, why are they going like that? And he ordered his men to take the Sifrei Torah and make them into pouches and hang them over people's heads. And he filled the Sifrei Torah, I think, with dung. I'm not sure what the translation of the word prida is. He had the Sifrei Torah made into pouches and filled. And then the people were forced into exile carrying sacks over their necks of Sifrei Torah that were filled, Sifrei Torah that were formed into these pouches, because Nebuchadnezzar said, why should they walk out standing tall? Let them walk out with their heads down. And that's Al Tzavareinu Nirdafnu. We were chased on our necks. Even our necks weren't allowed to be free. He said, let them suffer on that way too. Mitzrayim natanu yad Ashur lisboa lachem. When a person's falling, so he reaches out to someone to help him up. So that's what we did. We extended our hand to Egypt, hoping that they would help us as we were falling. We turned to the Assyrian Empire, asking them for bread, and all of this was part of our downfall. It ended up being part of the cause for our downfall. Avoteinu chateu veinam, v'anachnu avonoteihim savalnu. Our fathers, they sinned, and they're not here anymore. And we're suffering the burden of their sins together with ours. Avadim ma sheluvanu porek ein miyadam. We were given into the hands of servants, of slaves. Who took us into captivity? The descendants of Ham. They should have been the servants of the descendants of Shem. But no, now they took control and no one could take us out of their hands. And this is one understanding. The simple understanding is that it was the lowlifes who took control of the people. And King Solomon said there are certain things that the land can't handle. And he says, what's one of the things that is so destructive that, so to speak, the land can't handle? Tachat eved ki yimloch. When you have a king who was a slave, when the slave becomes a king, so then he could just print money like there's no tomorrow. He could decide there's going to be health care for everyone, and who cares about whether we could afford it or not? There's a certain lack of responsibility and lack of care and lack of foresight that everyone ends up suffering. So when avadim mashaluvanu, when one who comes with the slave mentality comes and takes control, so then Shlomo HaMelech says everyone ends up suffering. Nothing good comes out of it. And the Navi is describing that our destruction came from within. When he says we suffered the product of our forefathers' sin, that means this generation was born into a scene. They were born into a setting where there was corruption already there. The system was corrupt. The people were corrupt. It was the norm already. And so we, so to speak, bear the brunt of their sins. Don't forget, when Menashe was king, decades before the destruction, Hashem already said, that's it, I've had it with this city. The destruction's coming. So our fate was sealed long before the destruction. We could have done tshuva theoretically, but at the end of the day, when the destruction came, it was the product of generations of sinning. And that's what we're saying. We're suffering the brunt of their sin. It's not that we didn't deserve it, but it's that this was the generation where it finally built up to a point where Hashem said, I've had it. B'nafshenu navi lachmeinu mipenei cherev hamidbar. We risk our lives when we attain our bread. We risk our lives from the sword that comes in from the desert. The enemies would be waiting to kill those who went out to the fields to gather a little bit of grain. So they'd risk their lives to make whatever bread they could, because the enemies would hide out in the desert and wait for the people to go out and try to harvest and then attack. Oreinu ketanu nichmaru mipenei zalafot ra'av. Our skin is scorched because of the burning of the famine. Our skin is scorched like in the oven. Oreinu ketanu nichmaru, and it is so scorched because of how much we're suffering from the famine. Nashim b'tzion inu betulot b'arei Yehuda. Married women were raped throughout Zion, and virgins throughout the cities of Judea were freed for taking by the custom. שרים בידם נתלו, פני זקנים לא נהדרו. The leaders were hung by their hands, and no one respected the elders. Now this chapter is different than all the other chapters. This section is really Yirmiyahu's conclusion, where he's saying to God, look at all our suffering. This is all part of the conclusion. This is all part of Zichor Hashem Mehayalanu. Hashem, remember. Remember what we underwent. And then he's spelling it out. Everything he's saying now is part of that request before Hashem. Remember, don't forget all of this that we underwent. Bachurim tichon nasa'u un'arim ba'etz kashalu. The young men were given the responsibility of running mills, tichon nasau. They were carrying the grinding of the grain, litchon, to grind the grain. The enemies, when they'd lead them out into exile, so they were in shackles, but they took the beams of the mills and they put them on their shoulders just to tire them out as they're traveling into exile. So that's Bachurim Techon Nasau Un'arim Ba'etz Kashalu. And the youngsters were tripping from the wood, the weight of the wood that was on their shoulders. Now the word Techon in Tanakh very often has dual meaning. The word Techon, how do you grind grain? You keep beating down on it. So the word tichon is often a term for vulgar copulation. So the word tichon nasau, they carried the weight of being pounded, is also a reference to the fact that many children were taken and raped, many men, young men. And that's the word tichon throughout Tanakh is sometimes a hidden allusion to when a person is taken forcibly and raped. So that's you have this allusion in other places in Tanakh as well. Zekenim misha'al shavatu bachurim mineginatam. The elders that were ordinarily at the gates where everyone took their counsels, the Sanhedrin, they ceased to be there. Misha'al shavatu. Bachurim and the youngsters, mineginatam, they ceased to sing their song. Now, if you read this, you ask yourself, what? You're describing the worst things happening, and then you say, and the Sanhedrin could no longer sit at the gates. Isn't that like a little different than everything else that happened? So, we have to understand that if at the root of everything was the fact that the people were not observing the Torah, then the fact that you take away the high court, what you're really doing is you're taking away their capacity to keep the Torah. There's another hidden message here, and that is that those that were extraordinarily pious were given better treatment. The Navi tells us that Nebuchadnezzar said to Yirmiyahu, do whatever you want. And he wasn't the only one. That the real pious people were told by Nebuchadnezzar, you go however you want, you can do what you want. And so the term, the elders ceased to sit at the gates, seems gentle, and the answer is yes. Those like Yirmiyahu, well, their exile was really more gentle. Chazal tell us that Yirmiyahu ran with the Jews as they were being exiled, and he put his head under their shackles and helped the young men as they were walking out into exile. Even though he was free to do what he pleased, but he said, so I'm going to help my brethren. Shabbat misos libeinu nefach le'evel mecholeinu. The joy of our heart has ceased. Whatever happiness and song we could have had has turned to mourning. Nafela ateret roshenu oina lanu. Our crown has fallen Woe to us that we have sinned, that we brought this all to our, upon ourselves. Al ze hayadave libeinu al eile chashechu eineinu al harzion sheshameim shualim hilechu vo. Over this our heart mourns. Over the Mount Zion that is now desolate, and foxen walk through it, over that our eyes have darkened. And this is really the punchline of Aveicha. Everything we described is all a product of that. Like the Medrash says, when Jeremiah was sitting and weeping over the destruction of the temple, Plato asked him, "What are you weeping for?" And then Jeremiah said, "Well, tell me what questions you have." And he answered all his philosophical questions, and then Plato said, "So now if you're so smart, what are you weeping over wooden stones for?" So he said, "All my wisdom, everything you see in me came from that wooden stones." So the temple is really the source of blessing for the world and for Am Yisrael. And when we describe the destruction of the temple, what we're really describing is the collapse of that special connection with Hashem, which automatically led to all the suffering which was described in the Megillah. So, yes, we're mourning on this day. What are we mourning? The destruction of the temple. Well, maybe we should mourn all the women that were raped. Maybe we should mourn all the children that were killed. Maybe we should mourn all the elders that were tortured. All of that is an outgrowth, but the source of it all is that we brought upon ourselves the destruction of the temple. And that's where the Megillah really concludes with this line. What are we mourning for? We're mourning for the destruction of the temple because we see everything else as an outgrowth of that. Ata Adonai le'olam teishev kisacha ledor vador. You Hashem, we know you're eternal. Your throne is eternal. With a temple, without a temple, you're the same God. Lama lanetzach tishkacheinu tazveinu le'orech yamim. You promised us, and just as you are always existent, so too your promise is always existent. So why would you forget us forever? Why would you leave us for such a long time? Hashiveinu Adonai Eilecha v'nashuva Chadesh yameinu kekeden. Why are you waiting till Netzach? Netzach is a reference to the days of the Messiah. Lama la Netzach tishkacheinu? Why do you wait to eternity as though you've forgotten us? Bring us back now. We conclude the Megillah with a request, Hashem, help us come back now and rejuvenate our days, just as you did back then in Egypt. So we were bad then, but you gave us new hope and you gave us new light. So we conclude the Megillah and we say, Hashem, bring us back, renew our lives. Ki im ma'os me'astanu, katzafta aleinu ad me'od. Because we know over our sins you were disgusted with us. But you know, you expressed tremendous anger against us. And so to speak, the anger already covered it all. You already were so angry at us. We already received our punishment. And so we ask you, Hashem, Hashiveinu Adonai Eilecha v'nashuva. The people ask, after all this suffering, Hashem, we paid our price. Now bring us back.